please remember the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
You're listening to
The Marquee.
Woo!
33.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. Woo!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net, WDVR, here in the palatial studios of WDVR, DVRadio.net. I am your host, Marquee Davis. And it's February, people. You know, it was brought to my attention that a lot of people of all colors do not know why we celebrate Black History Month here in America. Yes, we do have other months like Pan American History Month, Latino Heritage Month, Native American Month. We do have those, but none of those are more known than Black History Month. You know, everyone knows about Black History Month. Black History Month was started as Negro History Week, and it fell on the second week of February because Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass's birthday is during that time frame. Now, why Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln? Well, because think about it. Abraham Lincoln signed the notice to free slaves, and Frederick Douglass was a really strong abolitionist during the slave era of America. That's what I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it the slave era of America. So he started Negro History Week, and it was a pretty big thing. It was left out of a lot of the education about 1926, who really was thinking about black people except for hanging them or chasing them out for whistling at a white woman. But that's how it started, and that's the reason why it started, okay? To observe Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln's birthday, and also to try to educate people on the successes of African Americans here in America. So when do we have Black History Month officially? Well, in 1976. We changed that week-long observation of Black History Month, Black History Week, Negro History Week, into Black History Month. And the United States government made that change in 76. Now, let's think about it, okay? This was never intended. This is from Woodson himself. Never intended Black History to be about blacks first and a parade of black icons. No. This is about an observance as a means to get around the institutional hatred of black people, okay? Think about it. Back in the 20s, back in the 1910s and the early 20th century, you know, black people were pretty much hated. They were seen as lower beings, you know. And this week was supposed to give the world a reason to understand African Americans, Negroes at that time, all right? So let's go into this. We're going to talk about some of the influential black people that you may not have learned about in school. Like we talked about this last week on Barrett's Talk, how, you know, most schools will teach you about Martin Luther King. You'll probably learn about Malcolm X, Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman, you know, some other figures of black people in America who did things to bridge the gap. You know what I'm saying? So first, I want to talk about Benjamin Banneker. Benjamin Banneker. Now, if you don't know who he is, we're going to figure this out right now. So he was born in 1731. Now, Benjamin Banneker was an astronomer and a scientist. All right. He died in 1806 here in America, born in Maryland, died in Maryland. But he did a lot of amazing things when it comes to the world of science and astronomy and math, mathematics and almanacs and things of that nature. So he escaped from slavery. He escaped from slavery. And he was taught to read by his grandmother and had a very short time with the Quakers up there, the Quaker schools up there. So he was pretty much self-educated, but it didn't really, you know, affect his brilliance. Let's see, he made a popular almanac called the Benjamin Banneker's Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia Almanac for the year of our Lord, 1795, being the third year after leap year. So he pretty much was a guy who was able to tell you the weather and fishing times and things of that nature, you know, using astronomy. He got a letter from President Jefferson. You know, in 1791, Thomas Jefferson was the Secretary of State, and Banneker considered the respect of Virginia though a slaveholder, to also be open to viewing African Americans as more than slave. Thus, he wrote Jefferson a letter hoping that he would readily embrace every opportunity to eradicate that train of absurd and false ideas and opinions which so generally prevail with respect to us. Man, that makes so much sense nowadays with these millennials and everybody trying to be Me Too, all this kind of stuff going on. To readily embrace every opportunity to eradicate that train of absurd and false ideas and opinions which so generally prevail with respect to us. And to further support his opinion, Banneker included a handwritten manuscript of an almanac for 1792 containing his astronomical calculations. So, you know, he did a lot of stuff way back in the day, in the 1700s to early 1800s, to try to speak with the president, and actually got a letter from the president back and things of that nature, talking about slavery, how, you know, black folks just ain't cotton picking slaves. They just ain't cotton picking Negroes out there. No, they actually have intelligence with them, which we know so thoroughly nowadays. I mean, hell, we had a black president. I mean, I know people want to argue whether or not he was intelligent or not, but he had to be. He won two elections and he reached the pinnacle of our political system here in America. So, you know, with that, Benjamin Banneker, you know, he did a lot of things that weren't expected of black folks back in that day. No one expected black folks to be able to read, write, and read the stars and write an almanac. You know, we was just considered, like I said earlier, cotton picking Negroes. more tobacco, really. So, since we are on a veteran radio station, we should talk about two influential African-American veterans that did things that many people may not have known about. So let's look at William Harvey Kearny. Now, I know you guys may have seen the movie that is based on pretty much his service, you know, with the, you know, the movie. Come on, write it in chat. Tell me the movie that Sergeant William Harvey Kearny, and you'll win 15 marquee points. First one to tell me. All right, so in 1900, he was awarded the Medal of Honor for his gallantry in saving the regimental colors during the Battle of Fort Wagner in 1863. Come on, tell me the movie that you guys seen this guy in. Come on. I'm going to give you a little bit more hints here. He was with the 54th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry in March 1863 as a sergeant. He took part in July 18, 1863, the assault on Fort Wagner in Charleston, South Carolina. Let's read his Medal of Honor citation. Let's see if they got it here. Here we go. With the color sergeant. Oh no, here we go. When the color sergeant was shot down, whoo, they called him a colored. This soldier grasped the flag, led the way to the parapet, and planted the colors therein. When the troops fell back, he brought off the flag under a fierce fire in which he was twice severely wounded. Now, I take a pause there because I want you guys to just fully embrace what was just written on his Medal of Honor citation. And, you know, his commander was Robert Gould Shaw and the 54th of the Boston Common designed by August St. Gaudens. He had the monument. But yeah, I want you guys to embrace what was written on his citation. I'm going to read it again. When the color sergeant was shot down, this soldier grabs the flag, led the way to the parapet and planted the colors therein. When the troops fell back, he brought off the flag under a fist fight in which he was twice severely wounded. Oh, you know what's funny? I read that wrong. I stand corrected, people. The color sergeant, the guy carrying the flag during this battle. I read it wrong. Correct me. I'm sorry. But still, you know, wasn't really known for black folks back then to get a Medal of Honor. Now, you got to understand this guy's history as well. He was a slave. And according to most accounts, he escaped through the Underground Railroad and joined his father in Massachusetts. Other of his members of his families were either purchased or put to death by their master back in 1840. So, you know, this guy right here embodies what being a true American is. This is during the Civil War. Okay. Fighting to free slaves, fighting for states and justice, states' rights, whichever one you want to fall under, whichever, you know, class you want to fall under, believe it how you want to do it, but that's what he was fighting for. So he received an honorable discharge due to disability as a result of his wounds in June 1864. And yeah, it's funny that it says that he modestly said, "Boys, I only did my duty. The old flag never touched the ground." And you know what? We have a lot of soldiers nowadays who would never understand. We have people right now who don't understand what the Stars and Stripes actually meant to these guys during the Civil War, during the Revolutionary War, you know, things of that nature. They don't understand that concept of what freedom actually means. You see, let's go into a little rant here. See, William H. Kearny was born a slave in Norfolk, Virginia. He was born as property of another man. So when he left and escaped and went to Massachusetts and volunteered with the voluntary infantry in March of 1863, he wanted freedom. He wanted to know what freedom meant. He wanted his children to understand what freedom meant. He wanted his friends' children to understand what freedom meant. And by doing that, by going up there and volunteering and fighting for the Union, he understood what his duty was. He understood what he was fighting for. And he was fighting for the freedom of every man, woman, and child here in America. So William H. Kearny, born a slave, died an American hero. That's the way I see it. I don't see black and white here. I see a man that has that is an important part of American history. Yeah, his skin tone may be black, and yeah, we may still celebrate Black History Month, and people exclude him from their, you know, education towards children and other people here in America. But William H. Kearny embodies what being an American is, not only an African American. So, with that, we go to one other African American first. Okay. So, also, I want you guys to tell me in the chat now. Remember the movie. Tell me the movie that is that has William H. Kearny in, based on his you know, him and other people's expeditions during the Civil War. You get 15 marquee points. They are worth $0. So, let's talk about Benjamin Oliver Davis Sr., the first African-American general officer in the regular army and the U.S. Armed Forces. So he was born in 1877, July 1st in Washington, D.C. He joined the service in July 13th, 1898, during the war with Spain as a temporary first lieutenant of the 8th United States Volunteer Infantry. He mustered out in 1899, and June 18th, 1899, he enlisted as a private and Troop 1, 9th Cavalry of the Regular Army. So think of this, okay? So during the war with Spain, this black man right here, he was a temporary first lieutenant. He got out in 1899, joined back up in 1899 as an enlisted private. He then served as a corporal and squadron sergeant major, and on February 2nd, 1901, he was commissioned as the second lieutenant of cavalry in the regular army. So let's look at his promotion history. You can all find this information here at history.army.mil. All right, history.army.mil. He was promoted to first lieutenant in 1905, captain in 1915, major in 1917, lieutenant colonel, temporary, in 1918. He reverted to his permanent rank of captain in 1919. So he went from captain to major to lieutenant colonel, back to captain, was promoted to lieutenant colonel permanently in 1920, to colonel permanently in 1930, brigadier general, temporary, in 1940. And he was retired in 1941 and recalled to active duty with the rank of brigadier general the following day. That's amazing. This guy went from private to brigadier general in the United States Army. Now, if you've ever been through any promotions, officer or enlisted, you know. Yes, it may have been different back then. I understand that. But still, that's an amazing accomplishment. Even though he was a cavalry, I mean, you know, back in what? 1877, he was riding horses. He was a real Cav Scout. He was riding horses with a sword on his side. So, I mean, man, he's done. I'm looking through his service record here. He did some amazing stuff. He served in some amazing places. And to be a black guy during that time in the United States military, think about it, it was still segregated in the military around 1901 when he got his commission to second lieutenant. In 1941, it was still sort of segregated. Wow. Let's see what he did. He became the special assistant to the commanding general of communications zone European Theater of Operations stationed in Paris, France. And in November 1945, was granted a period of detached service for the purposes of recuperating and rehabilitation. In January 1946, he again became assistant the inspector general, Washington, D.C. He retired on July 14, 1948, after having served 50 years. He died in 1970. He's buried at Arlington National Cemetery. His son, Lieutenant General Benjamin O. Davis Jr. of the United States Air Force, retired as the fourth African-American graduate of the United States Military Academy and the nation's second African-American general officer. Wow. So he's the first African-American general, and his son is the nation's second African-American general officer. Wow. 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 That's amazing. And the thing is, you know, I never knew anything about this guy. You know, I just looked him up real quick, and I'm flabbergasted simply because that's an amazing achievement considering the time in which America was and the way and the hatred of blacks during that time period. You know, it's just amazing to try and see how some of these guys had to overcome such adversity just to achieve something that had never been done before. All right, and with that, I will go ahead and go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about some more interesting African-Americans that did something amazing for America. And this has been the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net, Black History Month Edition.
DV Radio is for our fellow brothers and sisters, and it's all free of charge for our listeners, our guests, and even those that have shows right here on DVRadio.net. We do everything in-house, from mixing and recording ads and shows to the website and all that you get from us. We love promoting veteran-owned businesses and highlighting those in the veteran community. So if you would like to continue to hear what we bring to you and have even more in the future with the best quality that we can possibly bring to you, please head over to DVRadio.net and click that PayPal donation button. Any amount is welcome, from $1 to $100 million that your uncle lets you in his trust fund. So please head over to DVRadio.net and click that PayPal donation button right now. Oh, ah.
DVRadio. One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours.
And welcome back to the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net, WDVR, where we are talking Black History Month people. Yes, we are. We are informing and educating the listeners here on DV Radio, and we are letting you know that the Marquee Dirty 30 is doing Black History this the rest of the month. Yes, I am. The rest of the month, I'm doing Black History. So now, we're going to talk about Jerry Lawson. He's an engineer. Now, you're wondering, why am I talking about Jerry Lawson? Well, a lot of you guys like to play video games. Well, Jerry Lawson, an African-American engineer, invented the video game cartridge. Yes, the cartridge. So he started and developed the Fairchild Channel F video game console. This was back in the 70s. All right. So remember, if you think of video games back in the day, they were all, you know, in an arcade. You only had one game on it because it was soldered into the storage of the game. So it was pre-programmed in the game. You're going to play that one game on that one big system. So Fairchild Semiconductor in San Francisco developed the Fairchild Channel F, which had a cartridge system. Well, he invented it. Him and his team figured out a way to remove the ROM storage that was soldered into the game's hardware and put it into a cartridge so that you can interchange your games. So this game was called the Fairchild Channel F. I don't know if any of you guys ever played it, but he is the reason we now have games that we don't have to just play one game. We can play any game we want to. I know now we have a lot of, you know, the digital stuff and things of that nature. But he was the reason why, and he was the founder of and inventor of the cartridge for games. It's amazing stuff you do when you can just Google stuff. You know what I'm saying? Now, I want to get into something that's just a little bit more controversial here when it comes to African-Americans. This is called the Tuskegee Syphilis Experiment. So this was between 1932 and 1972. The U.S. Public Health Service began conducting syphilis tests on rural African-American men in Alabama under the guise of receiving free health care from the U.S. government. So, back when it started in 1932 with a collaboration from the Tuskegee University, that's an HBCU and a historically black college, they began to enroll about 600 impoverished African-American sharecroppers from Macon County, Alabama. Of these men, 399 had previously contracted syphilis before the study began, and 201 did not have the disease. The men were given free medical care, meals, and free burial insurance for participating in a study. The men were told that the study was only going to last 6 months, but it actually lasted around 40 years. After funding for the treatment was lost, the study was continued without informing the men they would never be treated. None of the men infected were ever told they had the disease, and none were treated with penicillin, even after the antibiotic was proven to successfully treat syphilis. According to the CDC, the men were told that they were being treated for bad blood, quote unquote. Wow. So they told them that bad blood would give you anemia, fatigue, and various conditions such as syphilis. Specifically, the collection of illnesses the term included was a leading cause of death within the Southern African American community. Within that community, the leading cause of death was syphilis. Wow. So, you know, I'm bringing this up because they were doing tests on black people from 1932 to 1972, 40 years, with a disease that is known to kill, and you can spread it, but not treating them for the disease, just testing and seeing, you know, well, let's figure this out. Now, I understand that we do this kind of stuff on, you know, animals to see how it would affect the human populace. Sometimes we have people with informed consent to do studies. That's why studies nowadays require informed consent, communication of the diagnosis, and accurate reporting of the test results. But back then, they just kind of did it. So this Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis in the Negro male, that's the name of it, had a whistleblower, Peter Buxton. He blew the whistle in 1972, and this led to major changes in the U.S. law and regulation on the protection of participants in clinical studies. Now, I bet you're wondering, why am I bringing this up? Because it took until 1993 for someone to apologize for this. President Clinton apologized formally on behalf of the United States to the victims of the experiment. And the reason I want to really talk about this is because, as I said before early in the show with the first African-American officer, general, that, you know, blacks were deemed as inhuman back during those days. They were deemed as a lower species. And for anyone who believes that nowadays, you are, my friend, a racist. I mean, if you are thinking just because my skin is different than yours that I am a lower subspecies, you, my friend, are mistaken. We both have the same color blood, the same heart, and the same organs that pump and beat within our system. And this is what I used to tell my soldiers who was just trying to say, you know, some racist stuff. I said, look, you're a man, right? They're like, yes, Art. I'm like, okay. So when you ejaculate, what color is it? Oh, well, it's white, Sergeant. Well, no shit. Everyone's ejaculate that's a man is white. Why? Because guess what? We're all the same species. We just have different skin tones because we come from different parts of the world. I don't understand the ideology of racism and people who still believe in that kind of stuff. I don't understand it at all. But this study was solely based on racial prejudices. They only chose 600 black men, gave them a venereal disease, and did tests on them without their consent for 40 years, telling them, oh, you know, you just got bad blood. We're just going to test the bad blood. So this is why I believe Black History Month is important, because this is a time of year where you actually get to find out and understand and try to research things of this magnitude and level. If this happened nowadays, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I don't know what would happen. Now, I believe it, you know, I understand there were African Americans who were nurses and doctors during this testing period. They could have blown the whistle, but, you know, they didn't. They were doing a study. I understand now that, you know, this study may have contributed to us knowing more about syphilis and probably other diseases that may have been around during that time. But it's still the fact that they decided to just use black men, 600 black men in this one county of Alabama, and test them with a venereal disease that can lead to death and other serious health complications. So I don't really want to leave off on that kind of negative note, but I want us to understand that this is Black history. This is what Black History Month is meant for. It's meant to educate everyone of whatever race, creed, or nationality that you proclaim here in America about the history of things that happened before us. You can never erase history. Yes, you can tear down monuments, but that's not erasing the history. So, with that being said, hey, guys, you have listened to the Black History Edition of the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net, WDVR. Coming up next, we have Barracks Talk. Barracks Talk. And all your favorite guests, hosts are going to be there. We might have a guest or two. I don't know. I don't read the itinerary. But with that being said, you guys have a wonderful night. Stay tuned here on DVRadio.net, WDVR. And be blessed, my friends.
Radio.